Good morning. The title of the presentation was just given, and as you said, my name is Luis Rodriguez. I'm presently a DRPH candidate at the School of Health Sciences and Practice of New York Medical College. Before we start, I'd like to acknowledge the team that helped in this presentation, Dr. Nancy Coppola, Dr. Deborah Viola, Dr. Mercy Maria, Dr. Mary Pfeiffer, and Mr. Eric Whitmer. The objective of this presentation is to understand healthcare and the essential role that public health nursing plays in its implementation, thus increasing the knowledge about current and innovative training programs helps to address the current status of public health nursing. So, community health education and prevention are mandates within the Patient Prevention and Affordable Care Act of 2010. A responsibility of public health nursing is education and prevention, but there aren't enough to suffice the need. So the question then is there a need to alter present nursing academic and clinical training curricula? Current nursing curricula focuses on hospital acute and long-term care, and none on community health. A holistic education with exposure to public health community services, population health, and advocacy for preventive measures in undergraduate training will result in greater numbers entering the field. The present curricula have high nursing student attrition, high delays in completing programs, low numbers choosing community nursing, and a high turnover rate in the first year of employment. These unfinished quitting students and graduates are part of a healthcare workforce crisis that creates a challenge by the high vacancy found in the profession. Thus, innovative program curricula must be entertained to address the present and projected continued workforce shortage. The reality presently, the number of qualified applicants denied to nursing school programs, last year it was 55,000. This is according to the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, where these statistics come from. And the undergraduate nursing attrition rate has a 30% mean throughout the nation. The national vacancy rate is 8.1%. And abandonment of the profession after the first year of employment goes as high as 25%. And by the year 2020, there will be a need, in addition to what we have now, of 1.2 million nurses. Now, since we are in the state of California, we looked up statistics on the state of California in terms of the nursing school attrition rate. And in 2010, to 2011, based on the California Board of Registered Nursing, there were 79 degree programs that deal with associate degrees and 39 baccalaureate degree programs. Now you can see that there is a delay in terms of finishing their particular programs of up to 23-24%, and the attrition rate was as high as 15% in terms of the mean. Now, the causes of this, basically, as you can see on the slide, were basically due to academic failures, financial issues, family and personal issues. However, it is important to note that although this graph depicts the mean among all the nursing programs in California, the data from the Board of Registered Nursing from the state reports disturbing numbers when the range of the statistics reported are taken into account. The delay range is from 0 to 96%, and the attrition range is from 0 to 67%. So what you see on the board is basically the mean of all the schools in the state of California. So when we look at the present public health reality, we find that the workforce is actually on a downward trend. These basically are due to, one, the aging factor, the retirement factor, and the fact that in order to be a public health nurse, you need a bachelor's degree. So the shortage has the most, in terms of the shortage that we have in nursing today, it has the greatest impact on public health nursing. And this is based on what is reported by the Quad Council of Public Health Nursing Organizations. So basically, you can see here what is happening in terms of the public health nursing positions, where you're losing positions, or the administrative positions that are being filled by nurses, but rather by administrators. So you can see what has happened between 1980 and 2000, and what was projected for 2012, which is currently running. Again, this is according to the Quad Council of Public Health Nursing Organizations. So we have to look into how do we deal with the shortage that we have in our present system. And the University Health System Consortium, in conjunction with the American Association of College of Nursing, defined the need in terms of the nurses being underprepared to face the culture once they're in the ward. And because of this, they also needed to see how they can actually do a transition program to minimize the burnout. So they developed a program which was evidence-based, where basically they have a phase-in or a transition where the novice nurse was able to be phased into the culture to the extent that this novice nurse, within the year of the program, because the program that they developed, it's called a nursing, it's a standardized nursing residency program, which lasts a full year. And the outcomes were incredible. They increased the retention rate to 94.3%, and in a little while we're going to be able to compare that to what it was or what it is presently when nurses don't take this program. Basically, their curricula, when you compare it with the National League of Nursing Accreditation Commission, is basically the same thing. The differences are two. One, that you need to have a bachelor's degree in order to get into the nursing residency program, and the fact that this one-year transitional program is taken into account when you figure out the statistics. Now, here are the retention rates. The first year of employment retained nurses. It turns out that those that simply graduate with a bachelor's degree or with an associate degree, the retention rate is just 72.9%. So you can see that the turnover rate is quite high versus the 94.3% that was actually acquired through the transitional program offered by the consortium and the American Association of Colleges of Nursing. Now, this is important because the turnover cost is quite expensive. It turns out that in a hospital setting, to train a nurse is $65,000. So can you imagine a nurse that you train and within the year she's not there any longer and you have to hire someone and spend another $65,000? So you begin to multiply this, and obviously it can make a dent on any budget. Now, the Institute of Medicine, in 2010, published a report, the Nursing Consensus Report, and one of the factors that they emphasize is the fact that nurses have to be phased in to the extent that they actually are phased in into the practice of nursing. It's not just you receive your degree and there you are. So in this respect, the federal government has actually made a cooperative agreement with the American College of American Association of Colleges of Nursing and the CDC, where they have actually are in gear to improve integration of public health concepts into nursing education programs, increase hands-on experience for students working with communities and public health partners. Now, we have decided to look at the fact that what has been done postgraduate. Well, why not do it at the undergraduate level? And what we're trying to establish is an innovative curriculum where you have academic support, health support, socioeconomic support, and psychological support, with the idea that the transitional year is actually composed within the scope of this undergraduate training, so that the end result will be increased retention after 1 year of employment and also an increase in public health nurses. As you know, if you actually increase the amount of nurses that are retained within the field, a certain percentage of them will be in public health. So therefore, if you have an increase generally, then you expect to also have an increase in public health. But in addition to that, the idea is to expose them to community services and community health, population health, so that they are exposed to the extent that they become interested and actually go into public health. We can break this down a little bit further. And the innovative curriculum basically is a curriculum where you have the present academic requirements. So this way we fulfill that particular requirement. But you have the support, you have the health role model, you have community exposure, and you have structural daily routine. What does that mean? Support will go into, there are four areas that are important to be able to deal with the idea of what of the problem of attrition and of delay. So if you get the support, you should be able to decrease attrition rates, and you should be able to delay the amount of time that people are actually taking to finish a two-year program or the four-year program. Community exposure, well, the idea is by exposing the students to community health, they will become interested in actually then going to public health once they get their bachelor's degree. The structural daily routine is the fact that this program is set up in such a way that it's like a job. You come in at 8 in the morning and you are at school from 8 to 5. Everything is structured to the extent then that the program can actually then be implemented in the way it is designed. The health role model basically is the idea that a nurse is a model to the community, so that if she can be healthy in her projection, then obviously the patient would want to be like her. So in academic support, we have to identify the need. Those students that are in need of tutorial, they are identified and tutorials are given in such a way that they're kept up with the academics to the extent that they not only pass their courses, but also that they do well in their NCLEX exam. So that exam skills, learning skills, and writing skills are part of the academic support. In the socioeconomic support, one of the main problems is that people have they go to school, but they also work. Now, if you really are serious about studying, the idea is to compose all of your time to your studies. So the idea is to have housing uniformity, where everyone is basically in the same place, where they can actually establish a social network among themselves, and the school itself would provide a sort of a network to supplement the students with the idea that they are being backed. All the academic tools would be allotted to the students so that they wouldn't have to worry, so that the financial backing would be there. They wouldn't have to be concerned about where would I get money in order to be able to do this or do that. In terms of health, there would be a structured nutritional diet, there would be an exercise program, and a health role model concept. And all this would be set up within the structure of the time frame that I mentioned before. Remember, this is an 8 to 5. It's like a job, and you're there from Monday to Friday. You take your academics, and all these things that are the support system are actually implemented within that period. And finally, and most importantly, is the psychological support. I mean, to be placed in a situation where you are culturally shocked, because you haven't been prepared. It's not the idea, and basically that is what is happening now. And the program that the American College of the program that the American Association of Colleges of Nursing and the consortium have set up in such a way that they specifically deal with the psychological support. So what I'm saying is, rather than wait until the patient or the nurse has actually graduated, then the idea is, let's do this at the undergraduate level, where you teach coping mechanisms, you teach the student how to phase in into the culture of what is expected at, in the ward, in public health, in long-term care, etc., so that it would be important, this transition of being implemented to the point where the student would be prepared, the student's affect would be prepared to the extent that the student would be able to face any situation that arises. And most importantly is counseling. It should be in the other corner, because the idea is where the student actually has complete and total support constantly from the psychological point of view, so therefore counseling would be very, very important. So, in terms of the transitional year, we call it a transitional year, but basically it's the four-year program where you begin through a rotational shadowing program in hospitals where the students would actually shadow a nurse, but that nurse would actually be paid to perform this particular task. It's not as it is now where they do it basically out of the love for the art. And usually who gets paid is usually the supervisor who's supervising or the professor who's supervising the students. So basically then these would be supervised clinical training with paid RN mentors. And then of course the counseling would be continued throughout the 4 years. And within the program, there would be a mandated volunteer setting in terms of public health, so that the students would actually be not mandated in the sense that it would be part of the curriculum, to the extent that they would actually volunteer within the community in the different types of settings within the community to be able to be exposed in terms of public health, and obviously to prepare them for the NCLEX preparation. So the end result in terms of this program would be to increase retention and to increase public health nurses. Now, one of the main questions is, fine, but how do we fund this? Well, the Nursing Workforce Development Program through Title VII of the Public Health Service Act has monies available for this purpose. In addition to the Patient Prevention and Affordable Care Act, which, as you know, was passed in 2010, and there really are over $750 million and within the law that deal with mandates that have to do with public health. However, in terms of specifically to deal with education, these are the funds that are available. So in conclusion, the idea is to decrease dissatisfaction and fatigue stress, to decrease abandonment of the nursing profession, and to increase retention, and finally to increase public health nurses. I want to thank you. Yes. Okay. Well, basically, in the ward, I could see throughout my 28 years many times the fact that you had these new nurses that came in and really couldn't handle the pressure, number one. Number two, the fact that there is a shortage. After 28 years, I decided to go back to academics, and one of the things that interests me is how to look at a problem that we have generally and what little contribution I can make to see if I can put a grain of salt in terms of trying to fix the deficit that exists. And in doing so, I found that the main problem is transitioning nurses in terms of being able to cope with the situations that are faced in the ward. It's not fair where a nurse graduates today and tomorrow she gets the job and the following day she's in the ward trying to deal with situations that she really hasn't been faced into. No, I can understand what you're saying, but our focus is structured because there's a time frame where a lot of things have to be accomplished, and in order to be able to do that, we would actually have to control the setting. Although I can understand what you're saying, but that particular part of the social network can be developed after 5 o'clock, and we would actually. Push for people to do that, to be able to build their social network, not just within the group of the school, but also outside of that particular area of academia. Yes?
So why doesn't every nursing school essentially adopt your approach?
Well, I wonder when you can see the statistics that have been offered by the consortium and the AANC, where the retention rate is 94%, and they're about to publish something that is even higher, up to 96.some odd percent. So their program is actually working. So I don't understand why the phase-in, the transition, which is the main aspect of this program, why it hasn't been done at the undergraduate level. And my contention is that basically I am taking what they're doing at the postgraduate level and then trying to phase it in at the undergraduate level, but with a support system that encompasses not just the counseling, not just the psychological component, but to me it's very important to follow up on the financial aspect, because if you don't have to worry about where you have to get the money to pay for your food or where you're lodging or your books or your computer, then you really have the time then to concentrate on your studies, on academia. Why this isn't being done, I don't know. I hope that this can actually be taken a little bit further, and perhaps it can have some influence in some schools where actually some of these ideas can actually be implemented. Yes. Right.
So is there anything that looks at the outcome side of this? Why nurses better trained, do they perform better? It's not just about retention, but that they have the skills and the knowledge.
Well, we have taken that into consideration to the extent then that the time frame has been now broadened to the extent that the nurse will have the option, or the student nurse will have the option to do it within a 2, 3, or 4 year setting. It's not surprising, you shouldn't be surprised in terms of 2 years. It turns out when you do the math in terms of what is academically required all these programs can be done in 2 years. However, not everyone has the potential to be able to do it in such a quick time. So therefore, the idea then is to set it up in such a way that the student has a choice of to do it within the 3 or the 4 year regular time period. But yes, it can be done within 3 or 2 years and still apply all the requirements that are currently being done. Remember that when you are a nursing student currently, you might take a course here, which is 3 credits, but you have all this free time. And then you take another course, and you have a lot of free time, you have a lot of vacations. So the point is that if you use your time constructively, it can be done, especially if you have the push to do it within that time span. When I started at New York Medical College back in 1977, I went through an accelerated program, so I know it's tough, but it can be done.
And what about
outcomes? Okay, in terms of outcomes, hopefully, at this point, I really can't say specific figures because this hasn't been implemented yet. However, we feel that if we copy what the consortium and the ANC is doing, that we definitely should be able to improve significantly the retention rate, which currently is at 73%, 74%, and I'm sure we should be able to up that number, hopefully between 73 and the 96% that is currently being published by the consortium and the AANC. I don't know what else to say in terms of outcome, because at this point we would have to actually implement it to be able to actually see. But theoretically, we are very hopeful that it can actually make improvements to the extent that we should be able to emulate what the graduate nursing residency program is currently doing. It's just a question of implementing some of these ideas, not at the graduate level, but at the undergraduate level. Yes, ma'am.
I think one of the interesting points here is the transitional year. It obviously is a model for the graduating high school student that sits a dorm model of the four-year university, Griffin Board University. As we move to more online education, though, I wonder how that would affect that. But if we just presume that there is still a population of students who do come in straight from high school and there can be this structured environment of a dorm-type program, essentially you're recommending a fifth year, postgraduate year, and a model comes to my mind is teaching. You know, they do the four-year teaching credential, and then they have their year of student teaching. It's sort of a way of an equivalent to that, but what I see is the difference, because many hospitals and many employers of nurses have created one-year residency programs, and with the same sort of success, but they've done it independently of the university. But what your idea here is, seems to me, is that we're bringing the onus of responsibility onto the university to provide that fifth-year integration into practice.
Right. Well, this concept is not an online concept. In terms of the fifth year, that fifth year actually will be done within the 4 years, so that it's not an extra year, but the transition actually takes place during those 4 years, and you need that structured setting to be able to do that. In terms of what the schools are currently doing, I think that they're moving more and more toward implementing transitional type of courses or phasing programs to be able to prepare the nurses better, because the numbers are there. You know, they have to be prepared mentally better than they're being prepared now. Also, the independent programs that you've mentioned, they're not standardized. Some hospitals have 3 month programs, some have 4 months, 6 months. What the consortium and the AAC have done is to basically standardize a curriculum where it's evidence-based, where it is working, and where the program is being implemented throughout the nation. Every year, more and more schools are implementing the program. One, because it is evidence-based, and two, because it is standardized to the extent that the idea is to have uniformity within what is expected of a nursing residency program, as opposed to the independent schools and the independent hospitals that have these programs, which are not called residency in their respect. In their programs, they're called internships. Basically, the same thing, but there is a difference in them what they're called. Yes. Well, actually, it's a combination of both. A lot of positions that have been lost, and as a result, then you have less nurses, but also the fact that the shortage is real, so less nurses go into public health. Also, the fact that there's a big requirement. You have a large pool of nurses that have associate degrees, but as you know, in order to be in public health, you need a bachelor degree. So that also is a factor. Yes.
Sorry, but I can just say that the amount of public health nurse shortage is basically skilled. I think that I guess I'm going to go press much harder to my very experience what I said earlier, because I guess organizations sometimes don't see nurses as being able to fit the mold of that company because of some of the skills that we have not been quite employed in nursing, but have learned being outside of nursing, learning how to set up a budget, or learning how to network and do different things that undergraduate nursing classes, at least when I was taught, do not do.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of, again, isolate nursing care and experiences just to nursing care and experience.
No, I understand that because as a former medical student, I remember I finished my degree and I finished my residency, and there I was setting up an office of which I knew nothing about and how to deal with business. In our curriculum, in terms of nursing, what you just said is actually, I mean, I can't go 20 minutes, but within the curriculum, all these deficiencies that are present now are actually dealt with. The idea is that nurse will be graduated with such a broad knowledge in terms of all those little details that you can mention that are not covered in present academia. They would be covered under this new curriculum to the extent then that the nurse would feel more at ease and be able to challenge these tasks that would come before her. So definitely, it's a lot of work, and again, the reason why the structure setting has to be in place, otherwise it just doesn't work. There's just too much to cover within 2, 3, or 4 years, depending on what the nurse decides that she wants to do the program in. So that in order to be able to cover all that, it has to be structured. Yes?
In addition to all of, you just wouldn't get a time. Totally impossible to do it. Our students currently have class quite often until 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And they do that on top of a full clinical day.
Okay. With all due respect, I have done the numbers in terms of what is academically required. It's in my thesis. I'll be more than glad to mail it to you. And you can actually see how you actually have about 547 hours still left over in 2 years still to deal with. It can be done because I've done the math of all that is required plus what we have in mind in setting up. It can be done in 2 years if the student is willing to do the work. If not, that's where you have the 3 and 4 year version. But my thesis It's over 100 and some odd pages long, and it clearly goes into every little detail of how this works. This is my master's thesis. Yes, ma'am.
A question and a comment. When you have housing out there, do you need assistance, like when you would give them subsidy, or would they come together in a central?
No, they would be in a central setting. See, the idea is to build the social network within them so they can support each other, but at the same time, leave them space to be able to widen that support. And again, I go back to the structure setting that we have to have in place to be able for this to work.
Well, in my comment, as the mayor, is our place of our students are changing. I mean, I've had 21 girls that have two children that are married, half the male, and our community, we live between 10 minutes and an hour and a half. Every day. They're also taking care of a family member or parent, which that would be impossible.
That's right.
So some students, I have over half of the students.
Right.
Younger,
well, this is.
But you're eliminating part of
the
pool, right there. And then I've got from a 20-year-old to a 58-year-old.
Okay. Well,
right.
the first class is. Right. Well, the first class is set up for 250 students. And from a pool of 55,000, I think we could, I understand what you're saying. Yes, there would be restrictions in terms of who would be admitted and who wouldn't. Obviously, because of the structure setting, there are certain things that the student would have to be willing to do. No, there would be a cohort that would be participating, and that would be compared with a similar cohort, but at some other school that have similarity in such a way that we can actually then compare to be able to see, you know.
Talk about the pilot.
Yeah.
So the pilot, there won't be a
Yes, sure.
We're actually, we have like a moratorium on building in the state right now. You know, so there's no new, there's some dorms that can go up, you know, right now. It's actually probably about the third year we don't have one new building.
Well, right now, where the school is going to be set up, there are three towels that are being negotiated right now because they can't sell the apartments. They're up already, so, and there's more than ample room for 250 students. I mean, this has been thought out very, very thoughtfully. There's a group of people that are willing to finance the project. Hopefully, once this gets going, we should be able to get private foundation and perhaps government involvement and to replicate it throughout the nation. Let's see what happens. Yes, ma'am. No, the fact that the school is in Puerto Rico does not mean that people from California can apply.
No, I didn't say that. What I meant, is that I'm not sure if affirmative, my own naivete on the federal influence of Puerto Rico, if Puerto Rico as a territory is required to fit federal mandates of affirmative action.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that it's a model that would work in many parts of the world, in fact, most of the world probably, where students could come and do that. I'm not sure how well it would work in our current culture in the United States.
Well, I'm trying to implement it in such a way that once replication, once the pilot program gives some nice outcomes as we expected, then perhaps other states will decide to replicate it. We'll see. Yes.
There isn't a shortage. There's plenty of people who want to here, but we do need a transition program so that people can get into employment.
Right. Definitely, when you...
To me, yes, it is exactly right. They're saying that the economy is involved in the education throughout the economic world, and so they should have the economic system. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'm interested in watching, you know, what you might do and what, so where do you plan to implement the information? Which I know you've got to get going, so probably what, 5 years from now, before you know, when do you, how do you plan to disseminate?
Well, right now I'm working on a dissertation that deals with something similar for my doctoral thesis. However, in terms of this particular idea, once we get the final licensing from the territory of Puerto Rico, we'll definitely let everyone know. There's no point in at this stage of the game to start marketing the idea because we need. Right. It'll be probably the first year will the pilot program, then comes the assessment, and hopefully 6 to 7 months, 8 months after. The first year, we should be able to publish our first results. Yeah. So, any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, the idea is that currently, the person that gets paid is the professor. Yet, when the students, the 5 or 6 students that go on the floor, are assigned to the individual nurses for them to shadow, those nurses aren't paid. So they have no incentive. However, if you were to pay these nurses for teaching with their shadows, believe me, the incentive would be there and teaching would be done, and then the nurse student would get something more out of the shadowing. Right, it would be in both. Yeah, definitely, yes. Well, not in Puerto Rico. No. And I've seen programs in the States where the the students shadow, but those nurses aren't paid. Yeah. Yes. The program is open to what? The program is open to everyone. There aren't any discriminations. It's just that there are certain rules for you to be able to get into the program. Whether you are black, white, blue, you know, whether you're Puerto Rican, whatever, it doesn't matter. The fact is that these are the rules within the program to be able to fit into the structured setting, and you have to follow them. Well, thank you very much.